Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I have had in the exhortation, that we say rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Father, ever rejoicing, praising the Lord. Lord, we are happy that we are able to enter this India with praising the Lord, exalting the Most High. Lord, we thank you. Now, as we read the scripture this morning, we trust you, Father, to bless us in it, Lord. Bless the reading of your word, Father, and let it be profitable unto us as it is mixed with faith. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, many things have been said about Elijah. He's called the prophet of the supernatural. And since his appearance, you know, in the Old Testament and so on like that, you know, the Bible never kept quiet about him at all. In fact, the Old Testament closed with him. I will tell you, Elijah the prophet, you know. Right, even in the gospel, he's featured again. John the Baptist, a kind of him, you know, a type of him, of Elijah, to the point that, you know, they were asking the Lord, how come, that Christ, said as Elijah must first come? The Lord said, Elijah has already come, and, you know, you don't even recognize him. Talking of John the Baptist and so on. They were even asking John the Baptist, are you Elias? Are you that prophet? Are you the Christ and so forth? He said, I'm none of those things. That's how much Elijah featured in the Bible. That's not even the end of him. From what we know, even the book of James had to mention him. Can you see, since the day he appeared on the scene, the Bible never even talking about him. Even the book of James, he said that we have had how Elijah, and so he mentioned him and so forth. You know, he talked about Elijah, how he prayed earnestly and so forth, you know, and the rain came and so forth. Of course, the book of Hebrews, you know, forget about him, you know. And right to the book of Revelation, we believe the 11th chapter is talking about him again, of the two witnesses and so forth, about Elijah, the prophet of the supernatural, you know. Many supernatural things have happened around him. Many things are the first. The first one to raise anyone from the dead was in his ministry. Not counting Moses, right? Which is a special case that the Lord brought him back, you know. Rather than that, it was the first time that, you know, God will use a man, a prophet, to raise somebody from the dead, you know. And he came out of nowhere. You know, we don't even know his background at all. All we know is in 1 Kings 17, Elijah the Tishba. That's all we hear. Nothing about him that we hear of and like that, you know. So many, many things around him. No wonder he typed the elect, you know. And of course, second man to leave this earth without seeing death, right? The prophet of the supernatural, you know. And many, many things and so forth, miracles and signs around him, like I said. This morning I want to talk about one thing about him that I believe is an unwritten sign that it happened here before the rapture. Something about Elijah, not peculiar to him alone, but it's an unwritten sign, which we believe, you know, will happen before the rapture and so forth. You say, what is that? I think it's unwritten. But it is implied, we believe, God may or may not use it, and that suggests it's the unwritten sign, supernatural transportation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. One aspect of happened in the life of Elijah, to talk about supernatural transportation as we look for the coming of the Lord. Some remarkable and the anticipatory event occur prior to Elijah's translation. That's why I'm saying that that's an unwritten sign that will occur again till before the rapture. Anyway, let's see what the Lord says. That Elijah was caught up by a heavenly chariot. The sons of the prophets had no doubt whatsoever, for they had witnessed it of our Lord. 2 Kings 2:7 says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan, meaning Elijah and Elisha. He gave many, many things. He even parted the Jordan. You know, just like the children of Israel will cross the Jordan. That Jordan has seen many, many passings, right? The first one was the crossing of the children of Israel to the promised land, right? So we see Elijah even was two parts of that. He parted the Jordan and so on like that, you know. Anyway, so we see. Supernatural things. And verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves to the ground before him, meaning Elisha, right? So, but the sons of the prophets were of divided opinion as to what had really happened to Elijah afterward, you know. Some thought that he had only been transported to another location on earth. 2 Kings 2:16. Really a couple of scriptures here. You know, the Bible talks so much about things. That's why at the end of the age, this is our own age, looking for the coming of the Lord. You see, we cannot be preaching the event of the days of Noah, talking about the event to happen in our time, you know. God has moved forward in that time and so on, that, you know. And they said unto him, behold, now, there be with, the servants, 50 strong men. Let them go. We pray thee, and seek thy master, lest for adventure the spirit of the Lord has taken him up. Isn't it wonderful? The spirit of the Lord taking him up and all of that, you know, and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not stand. And verse 17 says, and when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, okay, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they saw 3 days, but found him not. Like a shot that time, who knows, those 3 days could be a significant event. Don't forget the heaven was shut off for 3.5 years during his ministry, the first of his kind, right? And we know, again, at the end of the age, Revelation 11 says that the heaven will be shut off again for 42 months. There will be no rain and so forth, that, you know, they have power to shut up heaven. It's in Revelation 11. That's how we believe. It's one of those two prophets that the Bible says will come out in Jerusalem at the end of the age. This age we are living right now. Events, in fact, are showing that those things can happen anytime. What is delaying is the rapture of the church. So we see that there, you know. So, well, the evidence is that, before the translation, Elijah did experience supernatural transportation. I want to speak more about that, you know, another event in the Bible. We believe, when everybody says it, could be an unwritten sign that the rapture is near, if God allows it to happen in our time again. Anyway, as I will say, that is, he had been supernaturally lifted up and taken to another place on earth. Again, why are we talking about this? Because we know we are living. The Bible says the coming of the Lord draws nigh. You see, that's why we are talking about the rapture, you know. So, that's why we talk about the rapture all the time here. Anyway, many of the sons of the prophets suppose that he had experienced another instance of supernatural transportation. We even know how he came on the scene. Maybe he was even transported from wherever he was in the world. We don't even know how he came on the scene. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. There will be mystery around the rapture and the elect of God, like Elijah and so forth. You know, many mystery and so forth. And so we see, so that we are delighted in him. He even called the saints the larger saints, right? Because many things, he types many things concerning the saints of God who are going the New Testament fourth fruit rapture. Many other supernatural events happen around Elijah. For example, during the years of the drought, I don't say about Elijah, you know, about this, God will supply the need of his people, in it. Drought or no drought, economy or no economy, whether it's inflation or deflation or whatever it might be called, it's type what will happen to the saints at the coming, near the coming of the Lord, amen. So you see that many things. For example, during the years of the drought, the Lord spoke to him saying, divine guidance is in there for him, amen. God led him step by step, as you read here. In 1 Kings 17:3, get the answer and turn the eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherry that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded, God commanded the ravens to feed thee there, he said. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, divine guidance, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, step by step, God guiding him and so on, that, you know, arise, get it to that path. which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee, showing all that God will supply the need of his children because, you know, of the events of the end time. You know, we need supernatural intervention. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And he's the God of the supernatural. Praise the Lord. See? Talking of supernatural transportation, right? Just one aspect of him. Ahab, we know the story, but I always like to read Bible story because they tell us many things. Ahab made careful search throughout his kingdom for him, and also sent messengers to look for him in the surrounding nations. 1 Kings 18:10 says so. And the Lord thy God, Obadiah said, believe it. There is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek thee. So we see now the Lord does hide his people, you know. The Lord does hide his people, you know, from trouble. Psalm 27 verse 5, you see, we are looking, Bible say we are living in troublous times, you know, and something like that, you know. Perilous time. Bible call it the perilous time shall come. We are in those days right now. But Elijah started again, and the psalmist and so forth, God will keep his people. Psalm 27 verse 5. For in the time of trouble, see, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. Amen. That's for you and I today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Set you up on a rock. The Bible says so. Don't forget all the promises of God in this Bible, as far as the Lord is concerned, and so on, you know, to the elect of God and the Lord, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That it happened to David and so forth, and it's written to all of you and me and you, and we can claim all of these things for ourselves and so forth. From the days of Eden, talking about God keeping his people, right? The devil has stood before what the Bible called the woman. No, it's time, you know, we type the church in one way or the other, and so on, like that, you know. I say to devour our seed. Genesis 3:15 says so. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking of God preserving Elijah, clean that drought, and supply his need, and protecting him, and so on like that. Of course, the man child, Revelation 12:4. And he stayed through the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood, talking of how he has waged war from the time immemorial to this day against the saints of God of different dispensations and so forth, you know, stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as soon as it was born. We are living in that time right now. You know, of course, it's going to get worse in the Great Tribulation and something like that, you know, which we don't have time to go to right now. The Lord is now forming a man-child company, if you want, a company of true overcomers who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. We are told in Revelation 2, 27 and 28 verses and something like that, you know. That's what God is doing right now. Like Elijah was prepared in the secret, right? He just appeared upon the scene suddenly. Suddenly the action will take place and so forth, that, you know. There will be a great manifestation though, even before that time and so on, that, you know, we believe God in a great revival, outpouring, global outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Joel prophesied of it that are going to pass in the last days. That last one will be followed by cataclysmic, both terrestrial and celestial judgments, and, you know, the great day of the Lord and so forth. That's how we're going to mark the last revival and so on, like that, you know, to get ourselves ready for the great outpouring of the Lord. Now, this is a crucial event in the consummation of God's plan. And Satan, meaning, God preparing this man-child company and so forth, is a crucial event in the consummation of God's plan. And Satan is exerting every means within his power to prevent this company from being brought forward. But he couldn't stop her. Bible tells us so. God is calling for a group of people who are completely dedicated, that's our part to play, and surrendered to him. That is the calling of the hour. We are to make our calling and election sure. In one scripture and so forth, you know. Making our calling and election sure. As we go even to the new year and so forth, Satan is seeking to bring in compromise. He would like to get the people of God to violate their vows of separation from the world, as it were. They forgot that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Like Abraham of old, looking for his city, whose maker and builder is God. Even there was looking for the new Jerusalem, we know that. He looked past Palestine, past that, and so on. So the letter of God. We don't have a continuous city here, but we do for one to come. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what we are at right now. Anyway, and the promise of rulership of the nations was given to the overcomers in the church of the Tatara, according to the church ages that we all know about. This was the church in which Zerubbabel sought, can you see now, fissuring, in the time of Elijah into the book of Revelation, the time in which Jezebel sought to entice the servants of God to commit spiritual fornication, meaning to enter an affinity with the world. Revelation 2:20 says so, you know. The Lord declared that those who yield to Jezebel's seduction will go into great tribulation. That's why all the church won't go into the rapture, right? There is a false church also, you know, the Catholicism and so on like that, you know, kind of a false bride and so on like that, you know. Maybe the bride of Satan, I will call them, you know. Bible says, if the Lord warned them, except they repent. Revelation 2:22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and then that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. We know the false church will not repent, they are incorrigible rather. God will have to bring his own people out of their Revelation 18 for come out of my people. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We have been sounding the alarm. Oh, we will, you know, I believe, going around the world, and the letter of God will surely hear it. Anyway, God's call to this church at the present moment is for us to be on the alert against the creeping spiritual paralysis which has at its root in the deadly spirit of worldliness. It is the time to renew her, to renew our vow of separation from the world. Talking about that group who are looking for the coming of the Lord, the rapture and so forth. That's what we should be doing at this hour. Just a little bit of digression about this thing that I'm talking about, the supernatural transportation. Those who are faithful will share the position promised to the overcomers, the man-child company. Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shiver, even as I receive of my Father. One thing I always say is this, when we, talking about the translation and rapture all the time, we are told of the law, when we seek for the kingdom of God, it will add other things to us. Many other preachers, they put it in reverse. They talk about prosperity and so forth. That's all they preach really, you know. And for God that, you know, Bible is the Lord told in Matthew 6 and so on like that, you know, seeking for the kingdom of God. Like Elijah of old. I mean, you know, he was a man of singular mind and so forth. He's a single-eyed man. Because of all his needs, he did. Even in the Old Testament, praise the Lord. He can never fail, you know. I mean, what are you going to lose by having the Lord? You have to gain everything, both the life that now is and the one that is to come. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is God, and he cares for you and I. Finally, Elijah was commanded to know of the law to show himself to Ahab, right? Talking about transportation, right? I just told all of that history to come to this part of his life and so forth. Said that to Ahab, he met Obadiah on the way, and in answer to Obadiah's question that if it was Elijah, here is the answer in 1 Kings 18:8. Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. You know, he was fearless. The man child will be fearless, you know. Praise the Lord. But he's to be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, no wonder the early church was born. Persecution and so forth. The book of Acts, pray, Lord, grant unto thy servant boldness, may speak our word with boldness. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So Elijah sent Samson to be bold against this false cult and so on the name of churches. Now, the response to Elijah's request, was most unusual in verse 10 of 1 Kings 18. As the Lord our God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, whither my Lord, meaning Ahab, has not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of that kingdom and nation, that they found him not. Verse 11 says, and now thou sayest, go, tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to, this is a critical verse, and it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so, when I came and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, the servant, fear the Lord from my youth. So, like I said, an extraordinary answer, on the part of Obadiah, concerning Elijah and so forth. What could possibly have put such a strange idea in the mind of this man? The statement seems puzzling indeed, unless we assume one thing, that Elijah actually had experienced this previously, and the people knew him about it. Praise the Lord Jesus, supernatural transportation and so forth. The prophet of the supernatural, one of the people to have experienced, at least in the recorded history, to have experienced such a thing, and it happened before it was translated. Is that a hint to us that there may be more of this as we near the rapture? Talk about it. Though not detailed by the scripture, it could be the high-handed Jezebel blaming Elijah for the drought that had ordered Elijah's arrest, and when the officers came to take him into custody, I will say, the Spirit of the Lord whisked him away out of their clutches. Something of this nature must have happened to cause Obadiah to believe that such events might occur while he went to notify Ahab of Elijah's presence. Anyway, this also must be the experience of why the sons of the prophets, after Elijah had been taken off, we said, I talk so much about this because the Bible doesn't exactly say so. We're just taking Bible verses to put them together to say that what has really happened. I can't put a verse to you and say this and that, but we're just putting scripture together to see, reading between the lines, what has happened to him and so forth. Anyway, this also must be the experience of why the sons of the prophet, after Elijah had been taken up, had suggested a searching party to go to look for him, saying, peradventure, the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. If such a thing had happened before, if where we are going, might it not happen again? That's what we are talking about. Might not happen again? This was their reasoning at first. Elijah is concerned. If Elijah is concerned, if it happened to him before, now, even this time it was translated, won't it happen again? And so on like that, Anyway, and this was their reasoning and so forth. Although Elijah himself knew of his surety that, that Elijah had been taken to heaven. The Bible says so and so on. Anyway, now, let's move on. Is that the only supernatural transportation in the Bible? Not really. Bible always have 2-3 witnesses and so forth, as to comfort God's children, as to confirm his truth. How about our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven himself? Did he at any time in his ministry experience supernatural transportation? I say so, even again making inferences from the Bible, we can say one notably that is specifically said, other we can infer. In the Great Temptation in Luke 4, let's look through that and so forth. The reason I always like to look at the temptation of Christ is the way that he overcame it, it is written. It shows an example how to overcome, the devil in any way he might attack you on earth. Bible says they overcome in the book of Revelation, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So the temptation of Christ has many purposes. For the elect of God, the way to overcome temptation, it is written. Praise the Lord Jesus. That is the greatest weapon you have. Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One of those powerful weapons is the word of God. It is written. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:17. Anyway, and Luke 4:9. And even if the devil brought him up to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their arms they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, in Matthew 5, he says it's written the same thing, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now, like I said, in Matthew 4, verse 9, it says it is written. It might appear from the text that the Lord was actually transported to these places by the power of Satan, because he said, the devil brought him to Jerusalem and so on. Look like, the devil, done this, or he went there by the power of the devil and so on. Well, could that really be possible? Can the Christ of God be transported or be taken by the power of the devil and so on? Or was the incident just a vision and not a reality thing? No, it was more than a vision. It was a genuine case of supernatural transportation, actually. It is, For if the Lord were only on the temple pinnacle in the spirit, it would require no miracle for him to cast himself down, because we know a spirit cannot be caught by a fall. We know that. See, what happened there physically, how he gets here? Supernatural transportation is what it is, and so on, that, So anyway, and also, he would not have needed special protection unless he was in his physical body. See? Anyway, so, how then was the Lord transported to the pinnacle of the temple? Was it by the power of Satan? God forbid. It is incredible that Christ should be transported by satanic power. The scripture leaves us no doubt who was in control of Christ's person. Who are they? For if Satan could have cast Christ down, he would gladly have done it, really, So how can he protect him, A few days after, another incident occurred, which we believe, it is supernatural transportation, because right there, the same chapter of the book of Luke, he stands men in Nazareth when he opened that book of Isaiah after the custom and so on like that. And he found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord, is upon me. He has sent me, the Bible says somewhere, that same chapter, to preach the gospel to the poor and so many words in there, and to heal the brokenhearted. He just read the messianic prophecy about him and so forth. Anyway, at the end of that scenario, the Bible says those people in Luke 4:28, they took, they want to cast him off the cliff. And here what happened in Luke 4:28, and all they in the synagogue, where they had these things, were filled with wrath, because they appropriated the scripture that was written to him of him, and they were mad. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But hear what happened, verse 30. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Praise the Lord. Supernatural passage, even the Lord himself, manifesting these things and so forth. So we see Elijah did it, the Lord did it for the temple and so on like that, from the brook of the hill, he did it and so forth, Notice Satan himself, to show you it was a supernatural transportation, Satan himself implied in his quoting the scripture that it was the power of God that sustained Christ. Because in verse 10 of Luke 4, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear. So it couldn't have been Satan's power, no. The supernatural transportation and so forth. So it was the angels that were bearing Christ up, not the devil's power at all. And Christ answered Satan by quoting the scripture. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And after that, Satan failed to get Christ to yield to his temptation. In the passage, the Bible says, from him for a season we are told. Since the Lord obviously would not have climbed down from the pinnacle of the temple, since we already agree or we believe that he was right there physically, so he couldn't have just come down like that. He evidently was supernaturally transported again back to the place from when he had come. These are kind of things that one just read between the lines and so forth in the Bible and so on, that, you know. They may not be explicitly stated, but we cannot see it otherwise. Anyway, so we sit right there, and the Lord himself. Now, we believe that after he was transported back to that place, he must have been put back to where he was before, near the Sea of Galilee. Now, talking of the Sea of Galilee, we see another incident of supernatural transportation of our Lord Jesus Christ, but not only him at this time, even with his disciples. So this incident of supernatural transportation occurred at the time the Lord walked on the waters of the Sea of Galilee. The disciples have faced a contrary wind. We have a lot to learn from all these incidences and so forth, that you know. And after a hard night, according to the scripture, of rowing against the wind and so forth, they were still 25 or 30 furlongs from shore, talking about 3 or 4 miles away from shore, right in the midst of the sea. This will place them in the very midst of the sea. The winds and the waves had become so turbulent that the men were actually in jeopardy of their lives. Then suddenly, the disciples saw the Lord Jesus walking toward them, on the water. And now, after the Lord had rescued Peter, and who had tried to walk on the water, he did actually, he did for some time until he got his eyes off the Lord and so forth, began to sink. Say, Lord, save me! Thank God, he cried and said, Lord, save me! And so on, that, he almost sank, but the Lord rescued him and so forth. The Bible said that, then him and the Lord entered the ship together. And the Bible said, right there as the Lord entered, the Bible said the winds, 2 miracles happened there. The winds and the tempest suddenly ceased. And they said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds, they obey him. Amen. He created, he's the creator, right? He made that obey him, praise the Lord. And he was showing them many, many things, miracles and so forth. Number 2 thing that happened, another miracle, is the sheep. We are told in verse 21 of John 6. Then they willingly received him to the ship, and immediately the ship was at land, whither they went. Can you imagine about three miles, in the midst of the sea? How many furlongs? Bible call how many furlongs? 25 or 30 furlongs. If you know you're literally making in primary school and so on, so that's about 3 or 4 miles. Bible says immediately the ship was at land, both the ship and the occupant, immediately. We believe it was a supernatural transportation. Satan wants to sink. You can't sink a boat where Christ is in. Praise the Lord. And we learned something in India, in our struggles and so forth to serve the Lord, is washing over you. Don't forget, this incident happened, if you look at other Gospels, after the feeding of the 5,000, right? I think in Matthew version or something like that, And, he himself now went alone on a mountain and sent his disciples going. That's where this thing happened. He was watching them. As you walk in the gospel and live for him, he's watching over you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll be at the moment I say, I will never leave you, he said, and with you always, you know. So no matter what trouble we are in, you know, he is right there at hand to rescue us and to, you know, and to deliver us and to help us. Now let's see more quickly, you know, of this particular transportation. And now the question of Paul. Was Paul actually supernaturally transported at one time or the other? Well, we want to believe that, you know, there is one instance in which Paul may have experienced supernatural transportation of the body. Although he himself was not absolutely certain of this, so we just see what the Bible says and leave it right there. That was when he was caught up to the third heaven, or what is called paradise. He was not sure whether during that time he was in the body or not. 2 Corinthians 12:2 says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. He said, God knew. Such a one cut off, you know, to the third heaven. I said, cut off. That was how Elijah was cut off and spoken like that, you know. Anyway, Paul was very conscious when he was in paradise. And as far as he could tell, he had his physical body with him. Although, as he said, he was not starting. Now, so we leave that of Paul right there, you know, to paradise. He was caught up and so where he had unspeakable words, not lawful to any man to utter and so on like that, you know. So we know. Now, another man in the Bible, his name was Philip. I always like the story of Philip. When the Lord was teaching the disciples, I believe in John 2 or 3 or something like that, he just saw Philip, follow me. He did no question asked him. He just followed the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyway, he just followed the Lord and so on, that, you know, and many, many things. Formerly, he was a deacon. He was to make a deacon in the early church and so on. Then later on, I believe he was promoted by the Holy Spirit to the place of an evangelist. Praise the Lord. And supernatural things to happen around the man. He was so humble, himself as Stephen. Anyway, so the most often referred to of an instance of supernatural transportation recorded in the Bible occurred when Philip, the evangelist, was in the desert. Oh, how true the Bible is. Now, this remarkable miracle followed one of the greatest revivals recorded in the New Testament. You know, like I said, he has now been promoted by the Holy Ghost for the position of a deacon. There are several deacons, you know, in Acts chapter 6, Peter has said, you know, they were argued by about how to distribute food. That kind of was a great persecution. They have everything in common. And, you know, the sharing of food and everything like that, you know. And some people begin to make arguments. I think some of the people, you know, they were being cheated or whatever happened to them. Peter said, you know what, they asked this for. You know, you see, you know, we are, you know, you do choose among yourselves seven men, honest, and what is the qualification? And filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, let them take care of this charge of this food thing. As for us, we give ourselves, unto prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's in Acts 6:4, right? You know, anyway, so he was one of them. This Philip was one of them, and so on that, you know. Anyway, so after he went to preach in Samaria, we know many miracles took place there in Acts chapter 8. I don't have time to go in India. Now then what happened to him? Then so all of a sudden he was instructed of the Lord to leave that revival. How many more than I have had a few evangelists, you know, we have a great revival, but one another evangelist come there, even they have a greater thing going on, they leave their own for that other one. We have heard of it before. Humble. Because we are it's the same one kingdom, right? Not the rivalry we see today and so on. Anyway, Philip left that great revival and answered the call of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord led him to a certain place in the desert near Gaza where the war is going on. Now the Bible is true, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, twice I've been to Malta, two times. The first country I went out of Nigeria was Malta. You know, I used to be an engineer for NCR and so on, and that, you know. So when they told me I'm going to go to Malta, they call it in the, you know, the Bible call it, you call it a different thing, you know. Oh, Malta, I was so happy. My minister, thank you. So I look at it, that is Malta. I was so happy. This is where I got to Paul was. you know, and everything like that, you know, praise the Lord. The Bible is free, you know, and something like that, you know, and that thing as well. You know, so anyway, so I'll be there 2 times. The other day, about 4 years just ago, myself and my wife, we went there and so on. And anyway, so we see, so near Gaza, that's where your fighting war today is, where Philip was, you know, was taken. And yeah, you know, it will be, it's showing him what he will do. Like I said before, evangelists do not ordinarily live a large crusade or campaign to minister in the desert, where at the most, there will be only a few people, you know. But Philip obeyed the Lord. Praise the Lord. How wonderful it is to just obey the Lord. Don't question the Lord, amen. The all-wise God. How can the clay say to the potter, how do you make me dumb? Praise the Lord. Now it's the all-wise God. Anyway, so we see right here. And there in the desert, you know the story? He met the Ethiopian eunuch, reading from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. That's one part of the Bible I always enjoy. I remember Philip was asking him, understandest what thou readest? The man was so humble. He said, how can I? Except somebody teach me. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, Philip just took that from that same scripture and preached unto him Christ. He preached the whole, what is it to be saved? The same thing that that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts 38. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was said in Acts 38. I believe Philip went through all those things and so forth. Then the man now explained, may I be baptized? Philip said, well, you may be to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I believe that Christ is the Lord. Amen. Bible said they went out to the river, they half of you and they baptized him right there. And as they were coming out of that river, Bible said the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip. And the Ethiopian eunuch saw him no more. I like what followed. Bible said the man now went on his way rejoicing. The joy of salvation, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, the joy of salvation. You know what? This man was in charge of all that Queen Candace of Ethiopia had. He was in charge. He was a wealthy man. You know, and something like that, you know. I think Ishi said, I can confirm this one, that he went back, you know. And now, can you imagine being the queen and in charge of everything? Now preach the gospel to them there. I believe they have a great conversion in Ethiopia as well, like that. Praise the Lord. Now, lesson is this. The crusade that Philip left in Samaria to go attend to one singular person. That person now, if that history was true, now went back to Ethiopia and a whole multitude was saved. Praise the Lord. How wonderful it is to obey the word of the Lord. So anyway, so we see that there. So in what I was saying in Acts 8:39, you know, supernatural transportation. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, like I already paraphrased before, blessed be the name of the Lord. Philip was supernaturally transported for a distance of about 40 miles, if you measure it in our own measurements here, an event that was foretype of the rapture. That's why we're talking about these things. That's what we are looking for right now. Anything that lines up with our expectation of today, and so our expectation and so on, that we don't want to talk about it. We want to be very, very versed and acquainted, with the events that is surrounding this rapture. The greatest event since our Lord ascended to heaven, and so forth, that we know, the hope of every Christian that has ever been on the face of this earth, and so forth. Anyway, there is a difference, however, that it was a foretype of the rapture. In the rapture, he was brought back to heaven, from where he went up, transported, and came back to earth. In the rapture, we aren't coming back until we come with the Lord again. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's right. Until we come with the Lord again. So, we don't know. Perhaps, maybe, he was even announced to even see heaven. We can't confirm this one. Praise the Lord. That's right. You know, God does some mysterious things. Well, that interval of time, maybe it was possible to quickly see heaven in a gleam. We don't know. It could have happened. He's the God of the supernatural and so on, that, you know. So, this thing, so maybe. So. Now, the significance of the miracle, let's finish this way. I've said all these things all this morning to say the significance of the miracle or supernatural transportation. Elijah apparently experienced this thing, like I began earlier today, before his translation. That is sign that there have been many of these, or some of it near the rapture. You know, we see. Since history often repeats itself, it is not unlikely that we shall see a repetition of this miracle again before the rapture. Certainly, it will not be a miracle merely to give people something to talk about. People today, when they talk about miracle, they are always thinking about, I need to show something to the world. None of the miracles of the law were for that purpose. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 5, that man that had been paralyzed for 38 years. In the Bible says after the law was seen again for in the temple and so on like that, The Bible says the Lord conveyed himself away from there. He will tell the leper, tell no man about this miracle, amen? Or the blind man, praise the Lord. So like today, people want to just broadcast it and to showcase something. That's not the purpose of a miracle. It's to glorify God. Even though those people did not perform miracles on, they could not keep quiet because of the great, thing that God has done for them. Anyway, for the Lord Jesus Christ himself will not cast himself down before the crowd to all them, or to prove that he was a wonder worker. He never did that at not one time. Tell no man about this miracle, he said the lepers and all that, When the God's children begin to get humble like that, the ministers of God, they're going to see monuments of more miracles, Anyway, if and when it does occur, meaning this kind of transportation, naturally before the rapture, it is doubtful that the miracle of supernatural transportation will be in the presence of a large worldly audiences, no more than that of Philip was, right? Anyway, even of the rapture, we have had such things as this. Much has been said about the rapture, as it being an event which will cause the trains to crash, the planes to crash. I've had it when I was just come to the Lord and so forth. People will be saying, when the rapture takes place, the aeroplanes will crash, the drivers and so forth, the vehicle will crash and so on like that, Well, knowing what we know today about the things of the law, we believe that, it's a God of order, really, it's a God of orderliness and so forth, Contrarywise, we believe the miracle of the rapture will be quiet. And while it will be strange and mystifying, circumstances may largely reduce its dramatic effect that we share on the last day, of the year here and so on like that, So anyway, I think that we do everything they could to confuse the issue of the rapture. So I don't believe that plane will be crashing. God, or airplane, crashing and things like that. God is a God of order, and we know that. So don't forget, this thing happened for God to help his people. Who know Elijah being transported back and forth, maybe because of his ministry. There's a purpose. God always does things with purpose. Praise the Lord Jesus. Not to judge all people or anything like that, So, for example, it was when the disciples were in great danger that the Lord brought his willing disciples to shore where they might obtain much needed rest. There was a need for it. They were in jeopardy. That book could have sunk, right? Sunk, right? So the Lord appear right on time. And Philip, for example, he's been in the chariot for a while, right? 40 miles transportation. God wants to relieve him, wants to help him. How many days would he have to walk back to where he was and to Azotus, where he was later found, 40 miles away? So that's why I believe God helped his evangelist. That's the purpose that about the ministry and so on, supernaturally transported him. So put in your mind, there's always a purpose for God's miracles and so forth, to help his children and, to glorify his name. Now, there have been, rounding up here this morning, there have been, there have been few cases of supernatural transportation during this church age. I wouldn't want to leave that out. I don't have time to go into that. So there have been few of them. But as the time draws near for the rapture, it is quite probable that this miracle will be repeated again. That's where I have been going because talking about the rapture, I have said all that to come to that particular sentence. If and when it occurs, it will obviously be an anticipatory sign alerting the church that the time of the rapture is very near and that God's people must be ready for the great event. If only they will believe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you hear things, measure it with the Bible. Can you somebody get transported here? Yeah? Measure it with the Bible. If it is right, then you can believe it, you know. Many things go on. So I will believe. So if it happens to Elijah, it's half of the, you know, of the things that be translated, which cannot happen as we near the rapture and so forth. In finishing here this morning, let us remind ourselves. People ask you, you don't question God. Everything about Christianity is a miracle. In fact, it's good to remind ourselves very often that God himself is a miracle. It's a miracle working God. God himself is a miracle. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle. The incarnation is a miracle. His birth was a miracle. His life was a miracle. His death was a miracle. His resurrection from the dead was a miracle. His ascension to heaven was a miracle. His being by the right hand of God exalted, as we are told in the scripture, was a miracle. His having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost and has shed him upon us is a miracle. That's in Acts 2:33. If you want to look at that, it was a miracle. The new birth that you and I have is a miracle. Christianity as a whole is a miracle. There's nothing like it in the old world. There are all other fakeries and imitations, and many of them satanic and so on like that, you know. So Christianity is God dwelling in the believer. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. See, you know, Christ in all the hope of glory. That's Christianity. There cannot be duplicated. There's only one of it. So his second coming will be a miracle. The rapture will be a miracle. Don't even start to figure it out. There is no comparison of things on earth concerning the heavenly things. Amen. The materiality of this world. No. There are spiritual things. The universe is a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. That to my sins, it's immeasurable. It has to be a miracle. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's it. Genesis 1:1. You know. So this morning, talking of miracle, you are living here this morning. Let's believe God. The Christian life should be a miracle. Our life is a miracle, amen? Praise God. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Worship. Stand fast now in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. You see? Live the miraculous life, amen? You are a miracle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, right? It's a new creature. You are a miracle. Praise God. I don't care what it is, anybody say about you and I. I see a child of God. You are a miracle. You see, the path of darkness, they wonder about you. The manifold wisdom of God is being made manifest to principalities and powers by you and me. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Bible says so. Amen. Anyway, so quickly like me, my brother and sister, be stronger. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. How did this service start? I didn't talk to Sister Boss or anything like that, you know. Talking about joy, right? Anyway, the joy of the Lord is your strength. John 17:13. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Amen? The joy of the Lord. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen? There is such a thing as the joy. Jeremiah says so. The joy of the Lord. Talking the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want it to remain in you, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Last scripture here. Now, you do the asking now. You know, John 16:24. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. We begin the service by testimony of joy, and the Holy Ghost coordinating everything together, and end up with joy, that how we are a miracle, the miracle of God, God dwelling in us. Lord, we thank you this morning. This year will be the year of the miraculous for every one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus. What have been possible so far now, or delayed so called and so forth, that will become possible in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our joy shall be full. That is the will of God concerning us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the time we have spent in this word of God this morning. Lord of God, and now we all says that we wash and pray always, and that we can't take the worry. Escape all these things, creeping upon the world already, as we stand before the Son of Man. I'm looking for a joyful church, and he has the very joy we're looking for is the very joy of the Lord. People may have happiness. Happiness is different from joy in a way. You know, and one can be happy. If they have some material things, can make them happy. But joy comes from the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord. So therefore, we thank you this morning that is the will of God for us. And we receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the fullness of joy. Thank you, Father. So wherever we go, we can spread the joy of the Lord. Father, receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.